The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. As Jesus and his disciples went on their way, Jesus entered a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord. May I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I should like the story of Martha and Mary a lot more than I do. The story of Mary sitting at Jesus' feet while Martha works in the kitchen has long been used as justification for the primacy of contemplative forms of spirituality over active ones. Contemplative monastic orders used this as a founding story, used it to support a notion of the superiority of their calling over those who would spend their days in the busyness of the wider world. As someone who veers toward the contemplative in terms of preferred styles of prayer and sense of connection with God, I should love this story. Yay, me! I'm so good at following Jesus. So why does it make me uneasy? Why did it take me all week to feel as though I had anything to say about this passage? The fact that the cover on your bulletin is from the Abraham story in Genesis proves that there was a point last week that I almost bailed on Mary and Martha altogether, wanting to preach on that instead. But the Holy Spirit kept pulling me back to the story of Martha and Mary. So enjoy the icon on your bulletin cover, and I'll tell you more about it at some other time. I could easily have come up with a sermon for this morning to tell you about contemplative prayer and how this story proves that all you need to do in order to be good Christians is to pray this way. See, even Jesus says it's better. And it would have been great. And we all would have walked away from that sermon feeling like garbage. Because those of us who do feel drawn to contemplative forms of spirituality would be left wondering why we can't ever seem to do enough of it, and those who don't feel drawn toward these types of practices will feel like we're being told that our ways of connecting with God aren't good enough. So how's that for Sunday inspiration? But based on the fact that we are here this morning and not cloistered in silent monasteries, I think it's fair to say that not one of us is called to a life of exclusive contemplation. All of our spiritual lives are some mixture of active and contemplative, and each one of us has our own proportion between the two. Sometimes we are nourished and feel connected with God, with others, as we play and work and serve, and other times this happens in silence and stillness. I realized that my struggle with the story of Mary and Martha is the question of how Jesus could say that one was better than the other. But here's the thing. He didn't. I learned this week that the Greek text doesn't say that Mary has chosen the better part. He says the good part. It's not comparative, it's stating a fact. Translations that use the word better here are likely influenced by a long tradition of pitting Mary and Martha against one another, favoring contemplative over active forms of spirituality. I am also aware that historically in the church, it was the monks who translated and transcribed original texts, and perhaps they had a bit of an interest to protect in making the text preferential toward more contemplative forms of life. It's a friendly reminder that the scriptures we read are very human documents. But when we stumble across this truth, we don't dismiss the scriptures. Faithful engagement in a time like this means that we lean in further. We look closer to excavate deeper truths that might have been obscured. I love this stuff. The next step is then to say, well, if this story doesn't necessarily mean what we've always been told it means, what else might it have to say to us? We look at it with fresh eyes, trying to see past what we've always seen. Looking at the story afresh, my attention fell not to Mary, contemplative par excellence, but to Martha, whose actions I had often overlooked. Martha is actually the main character in the story. It is she who welcomes Jesus into her home. She is practicing a hospitality that is of utmost importance within her social and religious tradition. But as she readies the food and the table, her mind and heart are not on the work that she's doing. She's focused on her sister. You can almost hear the noise she must have been making in the kitchen, loudly banging pots, long, loud sighs to try to catch Mary's attention to get her to come help. Her gaze focused not on the work that is ahead of her, but on what Mary is doing. She reaches her limit and comes over to Mary and Jesus, not asking Mary for assistance, but instead, "Jesus, she's not helping. Make her help." Sure sounds like a sibling if I've ever heard one. But I don't hear frustration in Jesus' response to Martha. I hear compassion. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things." He sees past her words, past her complaint. And it becomes clear that Jesus' concern is not about what Martha is doing, but her distraction from it. Martha made a good choice, too, when she went to prepare and serve a meal for her guest. She's using gifts and talents God has given her and putting them to use in service of others. The problem is that she's blind to this because she can't stop looking at what Mary is doing. Martha and Mary are different people who had two very different responses to the presence of Jesus in their home. Martha sprang to work, and Mary sat at Jesus' feet. If Jesus is drawing a comparison between Martha and Mary, it's not what they have chosen to do, but how present they are to what they have chosen. Mary has made a good choice and remains fully present at Jesus' feet. Jesus' words do not preclude the idea that Martha has also made a good choice. But the problem is that she's focused on anything but the choice she has made. And I recognize something in Martha that I know in myself. Those times when I can't see what it is I could be doing, because I'm so busy focusing on what other people around me are doing. It's so easy to fall into that trap. Distraction and comparison can so easily take us away from our own lives. I mean, isn't this the entire premise behind social media? But God created each of us with unique gifts and talents and passions. And if God made us with such diversity, how could we possibly expect that we are all supposed to live our lives, to live our faith the same way? In a few moments, we will baptize little Carol Grace Conca. Is there any one of us here who would wish that as she grows up, she would be anyone other than the very person God made her to be? So why do we, like Martha, find ourselves so much more concerned with what other people are doing and let that distract us from living as the people God made us to be? And when we live our lives so focused on what other people are doing and who we think we should be, we can, like Martha, be distracted from the very presence of God in our midst. Martha missed the chance to delight in being in the presence of God and to serve Jesus with joy. If we are to look to Mary as an example, it's not because we have to live out our faith in the exact same way that she did. Instead, we are to recognize in her a woman fully present to her interests and passions, to the person she was made to be, and to the presence of God in her midst. And we can live like this, no matter what it is that we do with our time. I actually love that the story of Abraham was paired with this story in the lectionary today, because it disproves the idea that active service is somehow antithetical to a deep spiritual life. In the story we heard from Genesis, Abraham immediately recognizes the presence of God in the three men by the oaks of Mamre, and he works and serves them just as actively as Martha does, yet with the presence and focus of Mary. This, I believe, is what the life abundant that Jesus talked about looks like. This, I believe, is the way that Jesus lived his life on this earth. Fully aware of the presence of God in all things and all people. Fully aware of the work that was his to do, free from distractions and comparison. And this is the example we seek to follow as we live our lives of faith. The God who made us and gave us all the gifts and interests and quirks that each one of us has calls us to delight in that creation by being the people we were created to be. To know that we are deeply loved just as we are. To know that God is in our midst and then to live. Not fussing and striving to be someone else, but living as the beloved creation that you are. To see and connect with other people because we recognize God in them, to love and serve them, which happens a lot more easily when we're not wrapped up in ourselves. And to live out our days, whether in moments of silent contemplation, whether we're cooking or doing dishes, whether we're behind a computer or in meetings or in class or driving or buying groceries, to live fully aware that God is in our midst and seeking to be nothing more and nothing less than the person God made you to be. This is how we are called to live our faith. This is our starting point. And then get ready for some surprises when you let God take it from there. Amen.